Hello, everybody. It is that time again. We need to start a show, and we need to talk about a terrible tragedy that happened in Las Vegas earlier this week. It was the deadliest mass shooting in the U.S. in modern history. 59 lives lost and over 500 people injured. It is an absolute tragedy. It is unfathomable to think about something like that can happen while people are trying to enjoy music and just have fun with their friends, and somebody has to do something as insane as that. So I turned 21 in Vegas. I've got fond memories of Las Vegas, and
I've never been. It's so I don't know what it's like. And my dad even said he stayed in the same hotel that happened at. So yeah. Scary. And a lot of people that vacation there, a lot of people that, you know, maybe flock there for, you know, events. And I know the NFL will be there in a few years, and it's just unfathomable that something like this again could occur. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody involved. I didn't want to, you know, no one wants to wake up to it, but I'm just like, you don't want to be numb to it, because it's like, really, here we go again. And, you know, it's always like it's unfortunate. My heart hurts because I feel like there's always a new hashtag. Pray for this, pray for that.
Yeah.
You know, natural disaster, pray for Texas and Florida, or, you know, Puerto Rico. Now it's pray for Vegas. You know, it was pray for London, pray for, you know, Paris. And it's just, it's, my heart hurts, man. And it's just got to stop. And it starts with us, and you just got to look at it, the big picture. And, you know, me and Brandon want to recognize that and, you know, say, have a moment of silence before we think things get going here.
And I read a tweet yesterday, and it was a guy who said, I've heard in my lifetime three times this is the deadliest mass shooting in United States history, and I'm 22.
Wow.
That's just bone chilling to think about that.
Yes.
So many terrible things, so many Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook,
Columbine,
just senseless acts. And I don't know the answer. I don't know how to fix that problem, but, we're going to give you guys, a couple seconds here before we start the show. Doesn't matter what you believe in, if you want to pray, if you want to, just sit in quiet and think about the lives that were lost in Las Vegas. If you want to just reflect or meditate or whatever you believe in doing, we're going to give you a chance to do that before we start the show. We'll get into the Ravens-Steelers game after this, but everyone in Las Vegas, everyone that lost a loved one, was affected by this tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and you know, let's hopefully let this senseless act bring us all together, and let's find an answer to this problem, because it's not going to get better unless we all come together and figure out what's going on. So Las Vegas, this is for you. Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, that was a game.
You could say it was a game.
I guess that's what they call it nowadays. The Ravens lose to the Steelers 26-9. That has to be one of the.
I will say this though. Shout out to my buddy Bill. We were going down to the game. giving our predictions, and he said 30. We were all 3 points Ravens. I was like 20-17 Ravens. Somebody else was like something 3 points away, and he goes 31-10 Steelers. I just had that feeling, and he was about near close.
It was pretty close.
This one was tough, man, because it was that divisional game. You wanted it so bad. Yeah. A home game, it would have been a chance to do 3-0 in the division. Man, it was tough all day, and they just continued what they brought over from London, man. And I thought they were going to get it going, but it seemed like the best highlight of the day was the intros.
Yeah, I got it.
That was awesome.
The best part.
Add something to our Gladiator collection here, Mr. Suggs. I love it.
That's right. Suggs comes out, and the video they did was so cool because he has a towel over his head. He doesn't want anyone to see it prematurely. Right. He pulls it off, and there he is in the Bane mask.
Bane.
From Dark Knight Rises. And he comes out, and he's holding his chest, you know, like Bane does in the movie, and he does his normal thing. And I was like, this is something. This is something special.
I was in the stands. I saw it out on the screen, and I was like going nuts, man. You know me with the bat suit and the tie-in, and Batman's my favorite, and it's just, I lost it. I mean, it was one thing when Gladiator was one of my favorite movies, and he did that, and the tie-in with Ray's book, and what Ray incorporated that movie into his play, and just to see that, man, I thought it reminded me of the last time we played the Steelers,
right,
in week 4. He did it. He brought it out. It was a Thursday night game in that matter. He brought it out to spark the team, and we ended up beating them in the same kind of almost the same score.
Right.
And I thought it was going to spark us. You know, we needed that. You know, the crowd got energized with it, and it was great to see. And then all of a sudden, it was like that was the highlight of the game pretty much. It was.
And let's start just where the game started off. Surprising. I don't know if you were surprised. Alex Collins gets the starting spot at running back. He obviously worked hard for it. They gave him that spot, and he looked like he was doing great. But then, of course, he comes up during the game with a fumble, his second one in what was it, 32 yards or something like that. Not a great way to do it, because that's what happened in Seattle. That's why they let him go. So obviously, he still is having trouble holding on to that ball. Yeah, he's got spurts of brilliance, but if you can't hold on to that ball, doesn't really matter how fast you are.
Right, and what I find funny is it was said that Harbaugh has him on a short lease. Like, what about the other players?
Right.
I mean, I feel like just give him the rock. I mean, I have to bring it up again. Kareem Hunt fumbled his first possession as an NFL player, and he leads the league in rushing. The dude's got over 600 yard all-purpose yards right now, not just rushing, but all-purpose. And he's on pace to slaughter that record. So at 2,500, I believe, or somewhere is the record. So what I feel like, Collins, you got to give him the rock, man.
Yeah.
The guys, he's the only one player right now that I feel, other than our secondary, that is showing passion in the game. That, yeah, he has a fumble here or two, but it's just coaching. It's putting your hand on the nose of the football, holding it tight like it's, I don't know, like, Jules, like Preston Jules stole a bag of money. I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Like, wasn't that a thing? Like, you had to carry the ball around, like, no matter where you went?
Yep.
Remember
the movie Friday Night Lights?
Right.
And holding on the football, and the dad duct taped his hands because he kept fumbling. Reminds me of that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, good player, but coughing up the pill, and you can't do that, man. Yeah. And the mistakes, I'm not focusing on the fumble because it's only one teeny mistake. Yeah, you can't turn a ball over, and I said that was the keys of the game. We cannot win if we keep turning a ball over, and Flacco threw more picks again this week. And but Alex Collins, man, that first drive, and then we stalled. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Then you look at the game. We stalled on that drive, didn't get Tucker's 3 points. We didn't put it down there. We pinned him on the three.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. You know, and I think at that point, I knew it was going to be a great game. I kind of felt it, but wagon. All the wheels fell off the wagon, man. It was, they let the Steelers go almost all the way, virtually all the way for the touchdown. Held them to the 3 points. They bent a lot. They didn't break. But then it was like, you just seen how the game was going to go from there. It's like, we're going to get pushed around. And on that first drive, you know what? I thought I was watching the old school Patriots play.
Really?
Yeah, because it reminded me of this. How many times did we see Ben rush out of pocket and throw it to Antonio Brown or Bell break off a big run? But it was like these third downs, and it was like 3rd and 7, screen pass. 3rd and 5 or whatever it was. It was a sweet play to the left or right, and we could not contain the edges, man.
No.
And I felt like it was a Patriots way of playing football. They were playing little ball. Yeah. They were playing Steeler, big shot ball. I mean, they took a big shot. Unfortunately, Matavis probably didn't catch the touchdown at the back of the end zone on that one play. But I just felt like we were getting gassed with these little plays, and we weren't ready for it. And I just felt like we were – just not in sync at all.
All right, so you said you don't think we were ready for it. So
not at all.
obviously there's a lot of blame to go around, but if the team is not ready for it, to me, that's a coaching problem.
I was talking about that in the stands because it starts at the top, but I feel like coaching gets the players ready. And I look at it this way. I don't know if you've observed the rest of the league. Sean McVay, and I think his name's, I want to say Doug or Scott McDermott. I don't know his first name, but it was Coach McDermott in Buffalo. These guys are brand new head coaches in the league. Sean McVay out in L.A. for the Rams. He's one of the – I think he's the youngest head coach. I think he's my age. Like,
oh, wow.
Like 30, 31, 32. Like, he's a young guy
coaching
these guys. And both of these teams sit at 3-1. The Bills are in first place in AFC East.
That tells you something.
Not the Patriots at 2-2, which they did lose this weekend.
Yeah.
So – there's hope. I mean, and through all this, the Ravens play sucky, and Flacco called himself out. Yeah, I suck. They do. I mean, they all suck right now. But mediocrity is, the Chiefs are 4-0. We're 2 games behind for the best record. The season's only 4 games old. We're 25% away, man.
Yeah.
So I would say we're 25% through the season. We're keeping pace. I mean, if we can get a couple wins here, a couple wins there, but I'm like looking at it, I mean, if this team don't find it, we could be looking at a losing season, maybe 6 wins total instead of the flip side of 10 or 11 wins. I'm telling you what, man. But this game, it just they did not go well from the start. And I felt like with a home game coming after that loss,
against Pittsburgh, arch rival,
2-1 versus 2-1, first place on the line, a chance to do that special. And I just felt like the team wasn't playing the Steelers. It felt like it lost its luster.
Yeah.
I felt like they were playing like the Jets or the Browns or the Niners or some of these, you know, or maybe the Chargers who are 0-4 or the Giants who are 0-4. I felt like they were playing some of these mediocre pedestrian teams in the league. They're like, let's just go through the motions, go out there. And I just feel like I was more pumped up than they were as a fan. I mean, I don't go, but I mean, I was more energized in the stands. I was more, let me out there. And, you know, with my gear and suit up, everybody loves it. So, I mean, I just feel like the Ravens, you know, when you lack passion for the game, and that brings me to a point. Remember what Ray Lewis said about Flacco, about how he lacks passion for the game?
Yeah.
That was brought up again this week. And, again, you can't question a man's character or heart. You don't know what's in here, like me, you know. You know, I could sit here and go through motions with you, the podcast. I might get animated to go, well, Josh don't have energy. You don't have heart. Because I might not show it don't mean I don't have it.
Right.
It's people display in different ways. You know, there's introverts, extroverts, whatever it may be. I'm not saying Flack is one or the other. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, nor would I try to be. But the fact remains is, I watched the whole team. You know, after we started getting trounced, I kind of watched the demeanor on sidelines watching. It's like, they get up to the line, no urgency. There was like the play clock was at 25 seconds or on the huddle. They're getting the play in. It's 13 seconds. They're walking up to the line. It's 8 seconds. And they had to call a timeout. I'm like, do you guys understand what the urgency is? Like,
right.
You're down 10 points or whatever it was at that time. It's let's go. I'm like, there's no like, I mean, do you got to get a 25-year-old coach in there that light a fire on them? I don't know what you need to do, but it just feel like, you know, I'm not going as far as Harbaugh lost the locker room, but what gives, man?
I kind of think he has. I mean, I don't want to say that. It's so weird because Harbaugh is a great coach. The second that the Ravens let him go, dude's getting picked up like within
And that's
hours.
What's funny about it. Everybody says fire this and fire that. They're their home cast potato GMs, but it's funny you say that or fire Flacco or let Flacco go. Flacco have a starting job like tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, especially with all these injuries. You know, especially Oakland. We'll talk about that later in the week on Purple Friday preview. But and a couple other quarterbacks got signed this week. But it's just like you're right. You know, his caliber of head coaching and his pedigree, his name, the Super Bowl wins, what he brings.
Mm-hmm.
I still love his philosophy, but he needs to get a grip. Whether it's offensive coordinator, whether it's his players, he needs to sit down and have a team meeting. I feel like we've been this road before. Super Bowl year.
Yeah, absolutely we have.
You remember we played Houston, got trounced, and there was a so-called mutiny,
mm-hmm.
and, oh, Harbaugh's lost the locker room's running the circus, and it's a muck, and then we pulled it together somehow, got those wins, and ultimately won a championship out of it. But it was a collaborative effort. I don't know still how it happened, but I feel like we're back at that point.
Right. I don't understand how, like, I kind of think Harbaugh's lost the locker room. I don't know if he's getting out-coached, if he's got an old way of thinking. And I don't know, like, there's no one person to blame here because this is not Harbaugh's team. Like, this is not the team he came up with to start off the season. All of these injuries, I mean, 17 people on injury reserve. That's insane that you have to work with right. that many people that were not in your original plan. And I think that's affecting Harbaugh.
But are we making excuses at that point?
See, that's what I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's affecting Harbaugh, but it's also affecting Flacco. I think so many people are calling for Joe Flacco's head right now. It is just like we had people on our Facebook page saying we've been
they're fed up. They've had enough.
We've been putting excuses up for Joe. This has happened. That has happened.
And I got called out. He flat out sucks. I would take any quarterback in the league right now. Look at the rookie Deshaun Watson. What they're doing in Houston, man.
Yeah.
The dude had 4 touchdowns and ran for 5 total touchdowns. If you had him in your fantasy, man, so did I. It was awesome. But it's just you're right, man. You got to call these guys out. And I've been arguing about Flacco's contract. Oh, he got paid for what he did. And kudos to my friend Pat out there. She put it in perspective. You know, when you get paid for what you did, there's an expectation that you have to keep that certain level
right.
above.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like with me. I remember how it was when I get my bonus at work every year. It's you hit it, but it's almost like, okay, what's higher up here? Once you get up here, it's like you don't want to go down here because you get complacent. But it's like when you're at that level, your employer expects you to get to that level and then stay there in
right.
a state of plan of excellence. So I feel like I've always been an advocate of Joe. Everybody whines about his contract and handcuffing the team, but I was like, Joe got paid for what he did. He brought us the championship. He had the run. He had the run from 08. He got paid with that. Now he's – but then here's the thing. I feel like it's night and day. I feel like healthy Flacco was great or at least good.
Yeah.
You know, not saying, elite or not elite. We're not having that argument, but the injury – then now with the back this year, with the knee and in the back and getting fully recovered, I really think it's affected him and it's broken down his body.
Well, think about what you said last week on the Purple Friday preview about Le'Veon Bell, how October is the new September.
Yep.
Joe's the same way. Joe didn't have training camp.
What was his nickname? January Joe.
Joe.
Obviously, if we make it there.
Yeah.
But like
he's going through training camp right now. So
essentially.
He's learning with the new players and everything. That's what I think the problem is right now is that, and I don't think he has confidence in the people he's working with. I think Joe knows this is not the team that he was supposed to be set up with. And without Marshall Yanda, he's always got to have like a safety blanket. That's what we've always said. You know, he's got that safety blanket. He's got Dennis Pitta. He can always throw to Dennis Pitta. He can take it away. He had Bolden. Bolden was taken away. Now with Yanda, I mean, last year it was maybe he doesn't want to hurt up his knee again, so he's scared. Now without Yanda, and he's already got a bad back and telling people before week 3, oh, yeah, my back's still messed up. I mean, he doesn't want to get hit.
No.
He sees somebody coming. He's just getting rid of the ball.
But he's been taking the shots. And
yeah.
I've seen it. He's gotten up. He's not complaining. He's not. But I just feel like if he's an unspoken leader on the offense right now, he needs to act like it. You're the quarterback. You're paid probably the highest on the team, if not one of them. And by the way, I dig these cups. They're as scary as what we're playing right now.
It's
ghoulish. I love it.
It's ghoulish. Yeah, it is.
This is probably all of our faces after the first two
games. That was about like the third quarter. I was just like in shock, and I'm like, they do know this is Ravens Steelers, right? Because they were playing like it was a preseason
game
against
the Redskins. I will give this, though, to kudos to the fans, man. I felt like the place was rocking. I don't know if you've heard on TV, but there were – I mean, I didn't have voice. I mean, Monday, mine was worse than the Browns game.
Yeah.
Our section was rowdy. Oh, I tweeted this out, a little icebreaker in between the action here. Yours truly was on the Jumbotron.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
They got the camera
way
up there?
I was flipping it. Yeah. Flipping it out. Well, because I stand up on third down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I have my arms up like this. And I always have the threes.
Right.
And I'm always like doing this, like come on, let's go. And then I look up on across the way, the big screen. There's my face, and you see my armor, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Now that they found you, they're going to be looking for you.
Well, I'm hoping. That would be great because, I mean, that would be great if I can get it going there. But, my dream come true. I was up on third down, got this. So that was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
There's a lot of we'll get to the exciting things at the end, but we definitely want to finish breaking this down because I do have some good stories for this weekend, obviously, as you know. But, just looking at the Ravens, state of the Ravens as a whole I I'm stuttering. I have a loss for words because I really don't know where they can go from here. I mean, they got to go up, but I feel like the team's a mess. There's no chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through the motions. I feel like this, man. I feel like they're that employee that just comes in, punches the clock, does what he does, don't talk to nobody, leaves,
routine.
And don't even know they work there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, does Johnny work here? He's worked here 30 years. I've never seen him. Like, he's like, he doesn't get awards, doesn't get accolades. He just comes in, collects his paycheck, and goes home.
Right.
He doesn't care. It's Groundhog Day. I feel like, you know, what the Ravens need to do is he needs some guys that, hey, I want to get promoted. Like, I feel like Alan Collins is the only Ravens player on the 53-man roster that's awake and that's hungry.
That's sad.
It is sad.
That's really sad.
Not even these rookies. I don't know. I mean, I don't watch every single player, and it's hard to do on something because I'm watching so many different things. I watch the sideline. I watch the scheme that they're in. I watch the defense. I mean, when I'm there live, I watch so many other things because TV only gives you a glimpse.
Right.
That's why I love going to games live. I mean, people complain about traffic and prices and this and that, but I'm like, what you get live cannot get on TV because TV gets that one little snapshot of where it could be.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, when you see the demeanor of them walking off the field after third down, it's like they're moseying, they're putting it, there's no like, man, we got to get better. We got to do this. There's no like, you know, I see the rookie Deshaun Watson in Houston, you know, on the benches. I've seen, how about this, Jacoby Brissett he's quarterbacking right now for the Colts because of Andrew Luck's coming back.
Right.
He's on the sidelines barking, and that's shades of where, because he was an understudy of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's notorious for that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and again, you know, there's probably where my love for watching Tom Brady play, because he plays with that passion. I mean, how many times you see Tom Brady run down the field on a touchdown? He's headbutting Gronk, and you know, and that's what you need. I mean, again, I'm not calling everybody out, saying, you know, again, not knowing what's in their heart, but I want to get that back from Joe. I want to see that fist pump and see him like, yeah. I mean, I want that back. I want to throw lasers to these guys. I want him to call audibles, and it's just, we want him to do so much that it's just disappointing because they're letting us down, man. And it's just, there's no excuse for this play. I mean, the pay professionals, and I feel like we can sit here and talk all day on the call, but I'm like, I really don't know if there's a quick fix for it right now. This might be a week's or a couple months, and then before you know it, we might be a 4 or 5 win team.
Yeah, sucks. I mean, it really does suck. This is, I'm not trying to make excuses for Joe, saying this is, you know, is this his training camp? Is he going to get better as the year goes on? I'm not trying to make excuses for Harbaugh.
Would you bench him?
No, I wouldn't bench him. I don't trust Ryan Mallett to get it done.
But I don't think you can bench a quarterback of that stature.
Yeah.
That's what's funny. Everybody calls for that. It would be a good move.
It's like people, they would always talk about Alex Ovechkin on the Capitals because, you know, hockey season is starting up soon. So
yes,
I'm watching a lot of hockey.
Love it.
But they always say, take the C off of Ovi. Take the captain, you know, the captainship away from him, the captaincy. And if they did that, do you have any idea, like, what that would do to his ego, to his want to do well, his ability to play well? Because psychologically, they'd be like, well, I'm not the captain anymore. I got demoted. Like, there's the passion would be gone. If Joe got benched, it would do the opposite effect of what people want him to do. Joe needs to be out on the field. He needs to get more comfortable with the people he's working
with. Like, you're not benching
a
Drew Brees. You're not benching a Peyton Manning in their prime. You're not benching a Tom Brady. Drew Brees had a horrible first half in London until he finally got it going. They won 20-0, but I've seen a Peyton Manning throw 6 picks before.
Yeah.
How about talk about this? You have Eli Manning, who's got 2 Super Bowls in New York. They're 0-4. I would love to hear the airways in New York, but I wonder if they're calling for his benching.
Right.
But it's Eli Manning. Giants ain't going to bench him Eli Manning.
No.
I don't think you would as the GM or head coach.
No.
It's Eli Manning. There's certain players that you just can't do that for. He's not a third or fourth year guy who's maybe won you some playoff games, but then you're like, dude, he already hit the wall. Let's bench him and see what happens. Joe Flacco's played in this league since 08.
Yeah.
And he would still be playing every game if he didn't get hurt. And he's got 10-5 playoff record. He's got a Super Bowl championship, Super Bowl MVP. You don't bench a player that caliber because they're sucky and he calls himself out. Yeah, I suck, but you just got to go. You got to go to practice and you play better. You know, you think about golfers is, you know, it's an individual sport.
Yeah.
But when they're interviewed, you know, Tiger and his heyday and all these guys, you know, I'm coming Jordan Spieth. When they're interviewed and like with Jordan Spieth's meltdown in the Masters, they interview him and he's just like, it's all on you. You got to play better. They know what to do. It's just they got to go out and execute, and I don't know if it's – and I hear it all the time, coach speak. We've had a good practice this week. We feel good about Sunday. Then they get on Sunday, and it's like a total collapse. It's like me, but it's funny. I analyze it this when I play golf. I go to dry range, bro, and I'm killing the ball, playing, you know, hitting them. Oh, great. Then I'm going to golf course. I'm like, why can't I equate from that to there. It's like there's a disconnect. I always feel like there's something wrong. If they're practicing good, we're not seeing it on Sunday.
Right.
We're not seeing their best effort. And it's funny, you know, we pay, you know, the good money to sit in the seats and all that, but it's like I want the players' best effort as much as anybody, you know. And when we don't, yes, we're disappointed in our boys, but it just sucks because we feel like this might fix it and this might fix it and fire this and clean overhaul, but I don't know if it would work. I mean, there's some players I'm going to get rid of personally. There's some players I want to shake up, but again, when you have the IR, I mean, I feel like if we had Yanda, we had Brandon Williams, we had Danny Woodhead, I think we had Tavon Young, if we had all these players that are hurt, I think we'd be singing a different tune.
I think we might be 4-0.
That's why it's funny to me. We whine about it now at 2-2, but there's players hurt. Yeah. There's an all-pro lineman who could be a Hall of Famer one day. He's got the pedigree for it. It's hurt for the first time in his career, we take it for granted. He's been there quietly the whole time. Mr. Yana just doing his thing. Oh, now he's hurt, and the line looks like crap.
Yeah.
So, and it's like Brandon Williams, we signed him to a big deal. First two games, man, the defense is great. 10 turnovers, he looks ferocious. He gets hurt, and look what happens. I don't think it's coincidence, man.
No.
I think there's truth to these players getting hurt versus us sucking. I mean, look at Danny Woodhead. Tore it up. And you know what's funny is I saw an interesting stat, and I laugh at this. Just believe, hear me out. Danny Woodhead is on the IR. He has more catches right now than Perryman.
Good God.
Look it up.
Wow.
Look it up. I just, that's what I'm saying is, you know, it's, again, quarterback's got to get in the ball, but Mike Oss had one right in the Bray basket, got to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Joe can only do so much. And Joe had a great few plays. He put it there.
Yeah.
He was scrambling out of pocket. He did it. The one ill-advised throw was, yeah, he was rushed out of pocket, and I think the angle, yeah, he threw it right to the linebacker. That one mistake, because they were coming back. They were driving. They were going for it. But I just feel like, and that can be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, it's making the right reads, forcing it. Brett Favre was notorious for forcing the ball in there. It was one of his last games. He forced the ball in there, and they could have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's just, you want to make a play, but you got to be smart. But yeah. At the end of the day, it takes a team effort. It's not number five. You know, Mike Wallace got to catch the ball. Perryman's got to catch the ball.
Perryman's got to do something.
Oh, my God. He's a bust. I saw a tweet today, and I forgot who put it out there, but it said, Rashad Perryman is Travis Taylor 2.0. That's pretty funny. Yep.
That's just sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
It just, what gives?
Perryman, I have zero faith in Rashad Perryman. I hate to say it. I think he's
another first round bust.
He's probably a good guy, but I don't think he's NFL material. I don't. I think he got hurt that first year and he got stunted ever since. Mike Wallace, I'm sure he's a great player, but everyone on this team needs to be better. There's not one person on this team. Maybe like Alex Collins, Ronnie Stanley had a great game on Sunday, but besides those two, like Eric Weddle, I mean, he was still fighting for it. There's nobody on this team that it seems like wants to win.
Well, the secondary, I feel like, is the best part of our defense right now.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. Tony Jefferson, he was a little shaky this past week, but like Eric Weddle is always fantastic. I mean, he should have had an interception ran in for a touchdown if they wouldn't have blown that play
down. Yeah, I don't know what that was about. We are all expecting that when it was overturned. I'm like, and the refs at the NFL as a whole this weekend were atrocious across the board. You know, but in all you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend number five. He's got to play better. He sucked.
He 100% has to play better.
And
he may have his excuses. It may be, I'm going through training camp. My back hurts. I'm worried about my knee. I don't have the protection I need. But you got to figure it out.
Well,
you got to figure out a way to do it.
It's easy for us to sit here and say that when we're not an NFL quarterback, don't know what the regimen is. But at the end of the day, we know what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. We've seen what you can do.
Yeah.
Just go out and do it. Be let the game come to you. I feel like everything's forced. They're doing too much. He's overcompensating. He's trying to make a play, forcing the ball in there, throwing a pick, throwing the winging the ball down the field. I'm like, dude, just be smart. And I think that's what happens. When you get down and out, you just get that panic mode, and you're just going back, five-star drop, and just winging the ball down the field.
Right.
And I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Well, anything else we got to add to this episode of The Call? Because it's really depressing. Like the last 2 weeks I've been like, I don't want to do this show anymore because it's been
Are you lacking passion? I need to give you a pep talk?
No, I don't need a pep talk.
Come on, man.
This is good.
I don't want to be riding solo here in Studio B. That would suck. Yeah, Brandon's moping in the corner. I got to ride solo today. I got my cup here.
You got the Scream cup. It's the Halloween season, so
absolutely, I mean, my favorite time of year, and it's my birthday week, which is great.
That's right.
Kicking it off right.
That's right. So
birthday's in 2 days.
You doing anything big?
Nah, I actually doing these. I took off all week, but I got the adult thing, you know, cables being installed. I got my house, so cable furniture's coming in. But you know, hopefully hosting some, Thursday night football and some sports. You know, I know that's cool. On the Capitals play.
Yep.
So I'm it's been a good week. You know, celebrating. I know my big one was last year, so I'm just celebrating 31 great years this week, and just enjoying it. You know, just I've been off work, been relaxing, been shopping for my house. You know, just enjoying my castle.
Very cool.
It was great. But I definitely want to wrap up the show on a great note here of all the stupid negativity that swirls the NFL, but not only that, but just the Ravens in general. I mean, mediocre play and all that. But we had some guys come down, man, and I wanted to share a good story. If you saw, I had some guys come down from Ohio, the Howards, and they were awesome.
They've been listeners for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
I think they were probably one of our few and first, I believe. They came down for the Bengals game a few years back, and
I remember that.
Yep. Got to tailgate with them. Well, they made the trip up again. They left on a Saturday, drove the 7.5 hours, and stayed right there next to the stadium downtown. And, I picked them up, and we went to Jimmy's Famous.
Oh, okay.
They wanted to get away, and me and you were talking, and it was funny. I tweeted out that night, taking out the boys to Jimmy's Famous. They're in town for a Ravens game, and Jimmy's Famous retweeted it, obviously.
Yeah.
So it was great. I want to give a shout out to them and their hospitality.
What did they think of Jimmy's?
Oh, dude, they loved it. Well, it was funny because we had an unfortunate incident. And again, shout out to Jimmy's Famous. They're always great. But they were swamped, and we were there, and we got our food, and it was great. They got the crab cakes. We had that. I got some good shrimp and cream of crab soup, and it was great. The environment, they were, we didn't explore the whole thing. We were in the main dining area.
Okay. So a little bit fancier in the main dining area.
Fancy dining. Yeah, we didn't go upstairs to the bar, but I did show them the downstairs bar, like through the windows or what it kind of looks like. But
real quick, let me tell you a story. Sure. I took a girl to Jimmy's.
You took a girl to Jimmy's?
I took a girl to Jimmy's Seafood, and
what happened?
So I'm like, it was for restaurant week, and I'm like, let me take you out. Let me take you out to Jimmy's Seafood. We'll have a good time, whatever. And she shows up, and she's in like jeans and a hoodie, and we're in the main dining room of Jimmy's, and we sit down. And she goes, "Oh wow, I should have worn my fancier hoodie."
Oh wow!
Yeah, so
there's fancy hoodies. Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow, you have a hoodie, hoodie girl.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
How'd it go?
It didn't really go past that, really, but that's another story. We had a good time, though.
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oysters and cake and all that stuff. I mean, you can't have a bad time at Jimmy's.
No, not at all.
It's her problem after that.
That's right. Absolutely. But Jimmy's for the first time.
You got to actually, you had dinner with a celebrity at Jimmy's.
I would say dinner with, but yeah.
Next to. Adjacent to.
Well, it was kind of great how it happened because they're with us, and their father was there too, and we're great, and we're all sitting around conversing, having a good time, and he stands up, and lo and behold, there's a second guy taking pictures, and I'm like, that's Kevin Nash. And they're like, and they're flipping out because they're wrestling fans like me, and they're like, that's Kevin Nash. I'm like, that's Kevin Nash. Well, it was funny because earlier in the day, I didn't get a chance to go because I was busy, but the MCW.
It was Tribute to Legends.
They Tribute to Legends. Convention. My buddy met Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg was there. He said Goldberg's pretty cool. And he said Kevin Nash did mention that he might go to Jimmy's later, and he was there. I didn't get to go out and get a picture. I got a picture of him on my phone just sitting there. But
you totally TMZ'd it because you were far away. You were zooming in, taking a picture.
Yeah, I was the paparazzi all the way. Well, it's funny because we're like trying to make sure our flash is awesome. We didn't get that inconspicuous. But he got up and met some kids and took a picture of some kids. He went back, but he was just chilling, like one of us, having some food and drinks and having a good time. But yeah, they were blown away. And then I showed them on the wall of fame that like celebrities come through here. The server said any given week, any sports entertainment, they're all in here. Like there's pictures of Roman Reigns is the big fan. Jinder Mahal was there with the belt.
Yeah, so they have all kinds of celebrities at
Jimmy's.
I mean, who was it? Like The Rock's been there. You said what? Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, Jinder Mahal of WWE fame. A lot of players came in. I've seen them in and out a lot. So, and a lot of Ravens come there.
Yeah. That's like the go-to place after the game.
They are, and there that is, and the players have a special bond with that restaurant. I mean, and you hear the Chris Davis with the whole crab cakes, the Macklin. So I mean, Jimmy's does their due share of reaching out to players, and how many times I've heard Jimmy's Famous plugged on NFL Network and ESPN, which is awesome. So I've been to their tailgates. Kobe Jones was at their tailgate. Chris McCosker was there the week prior, which I was at. They're always doing something.
So. I went to Jimmy's for the game on Sunday.
Oh, how was it?
That's where I watch it. It was weird because Jimmy's is all welcoming. Everybody enjoys it there. So there were a pretty good Steeler big fans. Group of Steeler fans. So, I mean, that part wasn't fun.
Was it packed being it was a home game?
The upstairs is. The upstairs but, like, the is. Downstairs bar, it's usually pretty chill down there. There's right. not as many people because there's not as many tables. But where else can you watch the Ravens game and order sushi? Because yeah. that's what I did.
I'm not a fan of sushi, but I know that you're thing.
I enjoy sushi. I had the Ugh. Roman Reigns roll. We were just talking about
it. How was that?
What's that mean? Is lobster, scallops, and crab all rolled into one on sushi. In sushi.
See, now I might have to try that.
That was amazing.
Wow.
It was so – It was, and then we had the Torrey Smith roll as well.
Yeah, I saw that on the
crab
menu.
And corn and Old Bay and stuff rolled up. So nice. They do some interesting stuff at Jimmy's.
Oh, they just been one of the marquee places to go, and I knew that was the spot, and I was telling them around some other restaurants, but, you know, it was great. They got in, you know, to see Kevin Nash, see what Jimmy's all about, enjoyed it. We had some great seafood. It was great, man. I want to shout out to them. Thank you for their hospitality and going out to dinner with me that night, and it was great to see them. They tailgated with us for a good maybe the first hour or so while we were there, and then went to Ravens Walk. They had a blast.
So they get to see you in your element.
Yes, they saw me, Mel, and they loved it. I mean, I was just having a ball. We had our setup, and we had fun tailgating this past Sunday. But, you know, sucks that the Ravens didn't do their share in making it a worthwhile trip. But, you know, it's like those on the road games. You know, I've been to some road games where we won, and I've been on the road games where we lost, and I just make the most of it.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll be on the winning side this week. But for this last two games, it has not been fun being a Ravens fan. It is sucks. It's 2-2.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not the end of the world. I was like, this has been the most uneven season, but it's been pretty much the most even season we've had.
Last year was worse when we started 3-0 and we lost 4 straight. 3-0. You start 3-0, the chances of making the playoffs when you start 3-0 when it happened last year, it was like 60-something%, like me or 70, and it was like, and then you go, all right, we're 3-1, 3-2, we're back to 500. Oh, we can win against the members against the Jets. Right. We are okay. We can get to 4-3. Nope, lost that one too, and go to 3-4, and it was we've seen it before.
Yeah,
just got to get it going now. Purple Friday preview. There's some good news on the horizon. Hopefully, we're gonna set the teaser for Purple Friday preview. On that note,
that's right. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Brandon, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, Josh actually shared some really cool pictures from the tailgate this past Sunday.
I'm slacking on my pictures. I have some pictures that some fans shared from London. Yeah. I haven't posted. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been busy with vacation in the house trying to get some things in order, but hopefully I'll get them up on the Call Facebook page. Better late than never, but but thank you for that. I always try to keep us the videos, the
yeah, lots
going
of videos
on,
yeah,
any of the press conferences that go, hey, I can't be there in person to capture them, so let the media take care of it.
That's right. So go over to like us. I mean, if you're a Ravens fan, you're gonna love our Facebook page. There's so much to
did you see
check
the new
out.
Likes this week.
Yeah, a ton of them.
You guys have been rocking.
Yeah,
I don't know where it's come from, but keep it up. It's great. Like, I'm like, get log on the Call Facebook page, and it was like, you have like 4 or 5 new likes, and I see like people are messaging you. I just wanted to bring that up. Speaking of that,
we did have somebody who reached out to us all the way from Canada.
Yeah, and I definitely wanted to bring that up here. I'm going to log into the call. Bear with me here, man.
But it was a fan who traveled to Baltimore for a game, got to check out some stuff, but was telling us how he enjoys the game since, you know, we get so much Ravens news being local here.
Absolutely.
You know, people that aren't local here just, you know, they don't get to hear the Ravens as much. You watch like the NFL Network, ESPN, the Ravens are not mentioned very often.
No, not at all. And there's a reason why I wanted to bring that. The guy's name here is Dustin Keefe. I hope I pronounced that right, Dustin. If I do, I'm sorry if I didn't. But I wanted to read what he wrote because this is through all the ups and downs, the drama that the game brings, the agony, through it all, I don't want to take for granted what we do.
Right.
And why we're right here in Baltimore, we're based here. And this is what I wanted to share with fans, because there's Ravens fans worldwide. Like, literally, I told them, like, get a new fan every week from, like, a different country, different state, all over the globe.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's like interesting. Like, how did your fandom start? A lot of them were like, oh, last on the Ray, last on the Suggs, last on the certain player, and then just fell in love with the team. Some people say it was colors. You know, mm-hmm. they fell in love with that. They fell in love with the bird. It was. It's like I've heard people like, oh, I'm like the Ravens is my favorite animal. I'm like, hey, more power to you. So, I mean, it's just I hear all these, not say excuses, but I hear these reasons. I'm like, just awesome. But I'm going to read what he wrote because it was definitely heartfelt. And I told him, you know, that this means a lot. Let me take a look here. I'm sorry here. I got to find the message. Yep, this is what he wrote. In response to... This was in response to one of my messages. Dustin wrote, absolutely. I just wanted to share one more thing. A friend and I drove 14 hours to Baltimore for a game in 2015 when the Ravens played the Seahawks in December. It was an unreal experience and one I'll never forget for the rest of my life. You guys are so lucky to live in a football city where you can talk football with everyone. I really respect you, and he was talking about, I think, you, to you at that point, you and Josh's coverage on Ravens football. I hope someday I'll get back to Baltimore for another game because there's really nothing quite like atmosphere there on game day. And Dustin, man, you're right. You know, being a season ticket holder and just I never want to take it for granted. Yeah. You know, I finally got my PSLs this year and they're gold and I would never give them up. I'm happy to be a part of the culture down there. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I wake up early on game days and tailgate. It's an atmosphere. And even with the guys who came down from Ohio, I was like, tailgating isn't like it is up there, and they're right. Like, and we do a different breed. I'm like, dude, we should be, you know, we should do a documentary on our tailgating. I mean, what Jimmy's does every Sunday, I mean, it's a job. I'm like, I get up for work, not for work. I feel like it's work. But I get up, I feel like I am truly on vacation. I get up and you know, I get my gear and load the car with food, and I'm meal prepping the night before. What do we need? I'm at the store at 10-11 at night, getting the last minute things for getting ice. You know, putting the cornhole and all of our tailgate items in the car, and it's like that's what I love to do.
Yeah,
I mean, I do it because I love it. I don't do it because I got season tickets. I have to. I mean, I know people have season tickets and don't tailgate. They just come down for the game and leave. But I'm like, why get stuck in traffic for just 3 hours? I'd rather make it an all day event. At least it was worth my time.
Right.
And Dustin's right, man. You know, we are lucky and we are blessed to be a part of it. You know, because I look at people far away and it's like, especially in the Linden game, oh, how can I stream the game? Or how can, and it's like, and people are like crying out, like they want to see the games. I'm like, man. And I'm thinking, like, I don't call them out, but I'm like, you have options. You have NFL Sunday Ticket. You don't have this and you have that. And I guess people don't want to pay for the whole package. They want to just watch the game. Now, the NFL offers all things like Game Pass and all that, but I'm like, you're right, man. We can just go right up to the local bars and watch them. We can go right down to the stadium when it's a home game and watch them and tailgate and enjoy the environment and, you know, enjoy Purple Friday with fans. And,
right.
You know, and I work in Delaware, so I'm like, there's like two Ravens fans in the whole building. And, I mean, there's few and far between, but it's a lot of Eagles and a lot of Cowboys, and there's some Steelers there, too. It's a lot of diverse fandom there. But I just don't want to take it for granted at all. And it just gives me through the team, and, yeah, they might suck, and I see people banning them left and right and being bandwagons. Oh, you know, screw this, and, you know, fire the team. You know, at the end of the day, I know they're just shooting off the hip because they're frustrated, but Brandon, man, we can never truly take this for granted because look at all the stuff we have. I mean, we're truly blessed to be a part of the team and be a part of the culture. And for me, I was born in 86. The Orioles won the last World Series in 83.
Right.
To me, I didn't know what it was like to not have Colts because when I was 10 years old, we got the Ravens in 96. So I was a wee little kid who didn't know anything about football. Why did we didn't have it? It's not like I was born in 60s or 70s. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew what it was like. This is all I have to latch onto, and they provided us two world titles.
Right.
I don't know what a World Series title is like. I don't know what it's like to celebrate something. So to me, this is all I have. This is my livelihood. It's my outlet. So for someone to question that or someone, I'm like, no, I mean, I'm always going to be it. I don't care if I'm the only one in the stadium. Or I'm the only one standing up screaming on third down. I'm going to enjoy every bit of it because there's people like Dustin who don't get a part of that where they're at, and they would kill to be in my spot. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. So, and if anybody's up there wanting to give up their season tickets, send them to Dustin because I'm sure he'll be more gracious to drive 14 hours for 8 games a year. I guarantee that. So, just you never want to take it for granted because the team sucks at 1 week and all that. But you just got to stick with it, man, because, you know, again, you know, you can stick with it. I mean, look at the you know, Red Sox, man. They went 86 years without a title, and then yeah. they had like, what, two or three all of a sudden. It's just, you have to stick it out. You're a fan for life, ride or die. And I feel like, you know, when you lose sight of that, we cannot truly take it for granted. I wanted to close out with that, because I felt like it was appropriate, and I wanted to definitely bring that to the forefront, man. Especially the guys that drive him high, man. You guys are rocking, man. Dustin and his brother, it's just, this is great. You know, to get to interact with you guys and, you know, to see the passion, you guys come down the road trips. And then John, you know, he worked it out last year where he went to New York. Me and him went to the Giants game. Me and him talk all the time, talk fantasy, talk life. And it was just great, you know. And it's just a lot of fan connects. And I'll be connecting with Rickard here in a few weeks mm-hmm. for the Thursday night game.
Right.
It's coming all across the pond here. So I just feel like that this show – what we do is connected us, but it's given a chance to really get it out there, but not really truly take for granted, man. I'm going to thank you for that. And I really wanted to get that out there.
Well, I well said, absolutely well said. And I think there are people out there that definitely take it for granted and forgot what it was like to lose the Colts and maybe aren't old enough to know that and that feeling or whatever. And we are lucky to have, we're in a great sports city. I mean, we are. The Orioles aren't great on the field most of the time, but we love them anyway. And
don't stop us going to the yard and right. enjoying the atmosphere.
Right, and we enjoy that. The Ravens right. have two bad weeks, and we look at how bad it's affecting us. You know, it's everybody's in kind of a mood because of that. And, you've got passion for them. This guy came down for how many hours? The guys from Ohio came for 8 hours. I mean, that's dedication. That it's really yeah. hard to find in today's world.
And I'm flying to Minnesota. I've done it. I mean, I wouldn't drive to Minnesota, but it's just I appreciate that. It's yeah. awesome. And you're right. You know, we don't know what it's like, but we know what it's like to be here, and definitely take it as a blessing. And I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing to do.
And we know all of you love it, so thank you so much for listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. And we do this show for free. Josh has got so much passion. I'm sure he'd enjoy getting paid for
Maybe
it anyway.
Maybe I can give some to Joe Flacco.
That would be good.
Jeez.
All we ask in return is you please. We're not asking for your money. All we're asking for you is please write us an iTunes review and then spread the word on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. And guys, this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, 2-2, we were 2-0, flying high as we always. And wow, and here we are. And we're talking mutiny. We're talking what's wrong with the team. We're talking injuries. It's rough. It feels like what season hasn't been rough, man. I mean, every game ain't going to be perfect. Every season's not going to be perfect. We got to stick out. I mean, we can sit here and talk about answers, search for answers, but what comes down to it is the Ravens just got to play better. They got to be accountable, look and search in themselves and say, can we be the best player out there for 3 hours on a Sunday and practice hard during the week and put together a game plan? And I feel like the Ravens get away from the game plan. They just go out there and do their own thing, and it's not a winning effort, and we're all seeing it, and we're all frustrated. Trust me, I'm frustrated. Brandon's frustrated. We're all frustrated with you. With that being said, a few shout-outs to close out the show. Brandon, I did meet another listener. I forgot this. I mentioned Ryan. Ryan Mitchell came down and
cool.
Yeah, remember he was tweeting us.
Yes, Craig, he was H. looking Mitchell. For you.
Yeah, he was looking for me a lot. H. So I want to give a shout out to him. It was great to see him. Got the picture with him. Just it's great. You know, they're always coming up to us and finding us in the lots. And I know Jim. He'll be here in the Bears game in 2 weeks. So I wanted to give a shout out to him too. I was talking to him on Twitter. Can't get him to listen to What the Puck because I found out he's a Pens fan.
Oh well, nobody's perfect.
Love you, buddy. Love you. Just bad choice in a hockey team, but at least it's not the Steelers. We forgive you for that one. But it's just always fun to talk sports and rivalries, and it was a great one. Speaking of that, I want to shout out to Steeler fans. Definitely didn't see any animosity among the fans or any fights. I had Steeler fans while I was walking down the street with, getting on fist bumps and saying, guys, we respect you. It's rivalry, hate your team, but you guys are cool. And they were respecting my gear and where they're at. And I said, let's root them hard. And I told them, I said, let the best team put it out there and let the North take care of itself. But it's going to be fun long season here. And we got to get back on track in Oakland. Definitely covered all in the Purple Friday preview. guys, it's going to be okay. I can only, you know, go far as positive words at this point, but the Ravens got to do it for us. And with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.